This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, Peter Kessler is a golf historian working at Golf Channel and the PGA Tour Network. He is our go-to guy following major golf events. So it's a pleasure to welcome Peter Kessler back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Peter.
Great to be with you. The golf reminded me a little bit of one of your great rounds.
Did it really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, because Phil and I both being left-handed, I can sort of see that.
They call you Philly Mick also.
Yeah. Shortly after that final round on Sunday, no less than Jack Nicklaus tweeted out, the final round of Troon was better than the duel he and Watson had at Turnberry. Do you think it was?
No, because at that time, they were clearly the first and second best golfer in the world, and it's hard to say who was first and who was second. I mean, in 1977, Jack was still Jack. He would win the Open the next year at St. Andrews. Then he would win two majors 2 years later, and then, of course, the final Masters 6 years later. I once pointed out to Jack that the last four majors that he won not only were the Grand Slam, but he won them in the order in which they were originally presented, the Open Championship, the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the Masters. I got him by surprise on that one. I did think, though, that the duel in the sun was more significant because it was the two best players playing their best. I mean, they both shot 70, 68, 65 the first three rounds together. And then, of course, Watson with that final birdie on seven final birdies on 15, 17, and 18 pipped Jack by one. This was unbelievable, too, because you had one of the best players of all time with a guy who's probably underachieved. You know, he'd really won the Players, he'd won a World Golf Championship, but he hasn't won the dozen times that his game would suggest that he ought to win. So you have one of the best unheralded players of his time and one of the best players of all time. So slightly the nod goes to 77 and Jack and Tom.
What impressed you about Hendrick's play in that final round?
Well, I was stunned. You know, he didn't make any mistakes except the 2-3 putts, and they weren't short 3 putts. The one on one, you know, was 50, 60 feet, and those are easy to 3 putt. But other than those two, you know, you're talking about 10 birdies, which nets out to minus 8. And I just thought that he did everything that a champion would dream of doing on a Sunday afternoon. He made all of his putts. He made an incredible number of putts outside of 15 feet. You know, if you make 4 or 5 putts outside of 20 feet for the week, that's considered not a bad week. Literally, not a day, but for the week, if you make a few putts outside of 20 feet. And he was draining them from all over. I mean, on 14, a long one. On 15, it was 51 feet. On 16, he made a shorter putt. You know, and on 18, he drains another, 12 to 14 footer. So it was amazing stuff. He hit the ball beautifully, and he putted beautifully, and it's the kind of round that everybody dreams about. And so to see it unfold was sort of a dream come true for everybody, because you had the two best players in the field for the week shooting the two best scores on the final day, and one of them is 65 with 4 birdies, no bogeys, and an eagle wasn't good enough to increase the distance between number 2 and number 1. And in fact, he lost another couple of shots on the final day.
You know, on this program, you have said about Phil, he is the best player of his generation, if it were not for the best player of his generation. Runner-up for the 11th time in a major. It's not too far-fetched to say, with a break here and a break there, you know, Phil could have close to 10 majors.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, 6 second-place finishes at the U.S. Open. You know, he got pipped by Tiger a few times when Tiger was in his prime and Phil was playing some of the best golf of his life. He kept losing those shootouts except in an occasional PGA Tour event like at Pebble, where several years ago Phil shot a final round 64 to Pip Tiger, who he was playing with. Mm-hmm. And Phil's wife said, boy, are you kidding me? What a round. So, if not for Tiger, you know, Phil could be at 10 or 12. I mean, you know, if you take Tiger out of the equation for a long period of time, that would make Phil the best player. And Ernie Els was the only guy who was close to him. And VJ. I mean, VJ ended up winning so far more tournaments than Phil has by a couple. But, you know, I would take Phil's career over VJ's career. But, yes, Phil was second best player of his generation and could have easily had 10 major championships at this point, considering he had none when he was 33.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. We're talking with Peter Kessler here on the Augusta Golf Show. Okay, so does Phil win another major?
Yeah, I think he will. His swing is the best I've seen it maybe ever. You know, he used to take the club back, you know, pretty upright, and sometimes he would come over a little bit and be more upright coming into the golf ball, more steep coming into the golf ball, and less around and less shallow. But now his move is sort of like the swing that David Ledbetter's teaching now, which is called the A-swing for alternative swing. And it's a move that Lydia Ko is using, who won last Sunday for her fourth time of the year. And she brings the club straight up and then drops it to the inside, so it's a flatter swing going through the ball. That's what Phil's been working on, upright like he was, but then drop it to the inside and come more from the inside, more around and less up and down. And he did that, you know, beautifully for 4 days last week. I mean, it was, you know, clearly unbelievable to watch how well he hit the golf ball. He had very few saves. You know, he was among the leaders in greens hit and regulation. He was 15 for 18 getting it up and down. 15 for 18 getting it up and down. I think he's playing as good a golf as he's ever played before. Somehow he's figured out the putting. He didn't look edgy or uncomfortable over putts 6 feet and in like he sometimes does, and everybody collectively goes, oh my goodness, he's going to miss this one. You can just tell by setup and body language sometime that it's not going to go well. But he didn't have any of that happen, and he played a brilliant final round, which would have, against nearly every other man in the field, well, literally against every other man in the field, would have had Phil pulling away. So yes, I think that he can win another major. I think a week from next Thursday that he can go ahead and start to make a run at Baltusrol, where he's won the PGA Championship before. So he obviously knows the course. It's been good to him. You know, it was 10, 11 years ago that he won there, but actually I think it was 05 that he won there. Mm-hmm. And I think he's absolutely capable of winning again, because I think he's playing his best golf of his whole life, perhaps arguably right now. No Phil the Thrill stuff. It was all straightforward.
If I made you vote today for Player of the Year, who gets it?
I would probably give it to Phil right now. You know, he's third on the Ryder Cup point standings as we speak this morning, and I think that Phil has a great chance to not only win another major championship, but I think he has a great chance to win it right now.
We're going to talk again shortly as to your point, the PGA Championship beginning in just a couple of days. So we have time to kind of absorb the Olympics. But what did you make of Rory's comments about the Olympics?
I think he's got to be careful about what he says. You know, he one of the things that's really interesting about Rory is that we become increasingly aware of is he really says what he thinks, and he's not shy about ruffling feathers. You know, he clearly stated that he didn't get in the game to get other people into the game. But if he had just gone on and said, yes, but I realize there's a responsibility to do it, and I contribute to the first tee, I do children's outings, I'm part of this foundation, I raise money for this foundation, then it would have been fine. But to just leave it out there that the Olympics aren't very important, and there's some sports that are important and other ones are unimportant, including golf, which he made quite clear, I think he does himself and the game a real disservice. I think that he comes off as a little bit churlish as a little bit unhappy and pouting when he isn't playing his game. The throwing of the club again last week and breaking the three wood, walking up the fairway. I just think he's a little out of sorts. I think he's got to reorganize the way he talks to the press. And I think he needs to reorganize the way that he's playing golf right now, because it's pretty unattractive stuff. But I was surprised at the way in which he dealt with it. I was disappointed in how he dealt with it. And even though he tried to subsequently clarify the remarks and try to make them as though golf were more important to be inclusive for him, I don't think that they really swayed anybody. His original comments were pretty stark, and I think that's where we stand with those stark comments, that they were unfortunate and inappropriate.
All right, we're going to talk again soon since the PGA is coming up. You've also sent me to the dictionary for churlish. I will need to look up churlish. Peter, I appreciate the time, and we'll talk again soon.
Great to be with you, my friend. I always appreciate the time, and I appreciate the great questions, and I appreciate your show.